and I start having me a ball. Cause I got a good feeling, and I don't feel no pain at all. Right in my day.
Boy, every time I hear that song, every Friday when Kathy plays that, I just want to put my feet up, open a bottle of wine, kick back, watch some videos. But that's my cue to get my ass to work. Doesn't seem right. Good evening, True Seekers. Welcome to Friday. My name is Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Thank you very much for tuning in tonight. Tonight we are going to give away the decks of cards we've been promising, the Impeach Bush Now cards. You can see them at Impeach Bush. I can't ever say that. ImpeachBushCards.com. There you go. So you can take a look at them if you like. 54 Reasons to Impeach George W. Bush. We're giving away three of these decks to three listeners tonight. That's a total of nine decks. Each of three listeners will get three decks. Now, here's how to win. When you call in tonight, if you make it on the air, I will ask you who you think is the worst person of the year. You know how Keith Olbermann does tonight's worst person? He's got worse, worser, and worst. We'll take the worst person of the year and why. Okay. Now, when you call in, let Ian know. Just say, Ian, I've got a worse person. And that'll be in addition to what you want to talk about. I'm not saying call in just you know, for the sake of saying, here's my worst person. No. If you're planning on calling in anyway and you have someone you'd like to nominate for worst person of the year, tell Ian, and he will give me some kind of very sophisticated clue on the screen here that you are one of the persons who wants to name the worst person of the year and why. And we will choose, Kathy and I, we are an instant judging panel of three. We're worse than Simon Cowell, too. So we'll choose three winners tonight, and we'll get the cards in the mail to you Monday. Now, for those of you who win three decks, the three winners tonight who get three decks each, you may have enough time to use them as stocking stuffers. Next Friday, we'll do it again, and that will be our Christmas program. Because the following Tuesday is Christmas. So, okay, is that clear? No? Clear as mud? Three callers tonight will win three decks each of the Impeach Bush cards. And you can see them at ImpeachBushCards.com. And the way you win, just have in mind someone that you think is the worst person of 2007. And why you think that person is the worst person. And then when you call in, for other reasons, when you call in to talk about whatever you want to talk about tonight, let Ian know, hey, I've got a nominee, and he will indicate to me. And we'll just, now, if you are one of the people we pick, then we'll put you back on hold, and Ian will pick up the phone and get your name and address. Okay? Is that easy? Isn't that easy? And the phone number here, of course, is 800-989-1480. But don't call yet. You know, it takes me a while to get going. Well, you can call. Go ahead. Whatever you want to do. Got an email here from Robert in Baltimore. Dear Uncle Mike, can you please explain to all the boys and girls why President Bush told Pakistan's President Pervez Musharraf to take off his uniform, but he told CIA Director Michael Hayden to keep his on? I thought CIA Director is a civilian position. Well, it is, Robert. But and then he says, "Thank you, Uncle Mike." It is a civilian position, but you're dealing with Nazis. You're dealing with fascists in the Bush crime family, and it's also part of the Oliver North syndrome. You know, a useless weasel and disgrace to the to his oath, and a disgrace to the Marine Corps. Certainly, Oliver North, when he appeared before Congress and lied through his ass, he wore his uniform. That was supposed to deflect any sort of criticism or critical questioning. So, once again, don't forget to go to, I've got two websites for you, dumpthedemocraticleadership.org. That's a website put together by Doug Lang, who's the founder of Internet TV News, dumpthedemocraticleadership.org. He's got a petition going there. So I went and signed it. You sign it. Just do it. Dumpthedemocraticleadership.org. What good are they? Have you heard the latest? They're going to go ahead and give Bush all the money he wants for his murderous... whatever. That's the first one. The second website is HarryTaylorForCongress.com. Our friend Daryl over in Birmingham asked me to mention this past week, and we did, and apparently there was some response, but not enough. What would really be cool if he could pick up $25 from each of 4,000 small donors. He's running for Congress in Washington State? I'm not even sure. It doesn't matter where he's running for Congress. The fact that he is running is what's important. So check out his website, HarryTaylorForCongress.com, if you would please. Okay. Now, the one last thing I want to mention about these impeach Bush playing cards, the people who put it together, filmmaker and political satirist Jerry Vassilatos, he's the one who came up with this. They have sent a deck of these to every single member of Congress at his own expense. That's 535 decks of these cards he sent out, and he sent a letter with it. And when you see the cards, I mean, you'll see why he sent it. But the letter he sent, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he writes, "Dear Congressman, or dear Member of Congress, when our servicemen and women were sent to Iraq on a lie, the Pentagon issued playing card decks to the troops identifying Iraq's most wanted, because as the Pentagon explained, the best way to out the enemy was to depict them on a deck of cards. America is facing another enemy, this time from within, and the enclosed playing card deck not only identifies that enemy, but lists the top 54 reasons to impeach George W. Bush for high crimes and misdemeanors against this country, its citizens, and our Constitution. When you took the oath of office as a member of Congress, you swore and affirmed to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. What's taking you so long defending it against the lies and crimes of the Bush and Cheney administration?" And then the letter goes on to list some of the good reasons to impeach. And then there's this. President Theodore Roosevelt said, quote, "Patriotism means to stand by the country. It does not mean to stand by the president or any other public official, save exactly to the degree in which he himself stands by the country. It is patriotic to support him insofar as he efficiently serves the country. It is unpatriotic not to oppose him to the exact extent that by inefficiency or otherwise he fails in his duty to stand by the country. In either event, it is unpatriotic not to tell the truth, whether about the president or anyone else." End quote. That was a kind of a Republican, wasn't it, Theodore Roosevelt? So the letter closes out, "Do your duty as true patriots, members of Congress. Acquaint yourself with every document fact in this card deck. Then put impeachment back on the table and remove this thug masquerading as our commander-in-chief before the damage he and his administration have caused cannot be undone." Whew. That's powerful stuff. Good for you, Jerry. That's really powerful stuff. And I will guarantee you that every member of Congress who got a deck, and according to Jerry Vassilatos, who came up with this idea, that's 535 of them. I'll bet you dollars to donut holes. I don't care who it was. Even thugs like Duncan Hunter or this dumbass James Inhofe, you can bet they opened them and looked at them. You can bet they did. And that's got to have an effect. So good for Jerry. Good for Jerry. And tonight, if you're one of our lucky winners tonight, you'll receive three decks, count them, three decks of the Impeach Bush Now cards. And what else do we have for our contestants, Ronald? Well, all right, don't push it. Quick break here. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
Tell them your dreams. Sit down, shut up. And- He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's More Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. I don't know if you're aware, but this past week there was a resolution that passed in the House, a bill, really. I guess it was a resolution, a bill. It was House Resolution 847, and the vote was 372-9 in favor of this damn thing. There were 10 members who also voted present, meaning they took no position on the bill at hand. 40 were not voting. One of those who cast a vote present was Mike Pence, a Republican of Indiana. And there were 195 Democrats who voted for the bill and 177 Republicans. One of the people who didn't vote in favor of it is Representative Jim McDermott. Now, he says he's not the Grinch, even though he voted against Christmas. He's a Democrat from Washington State. He says he was protesting the veto of the Children's Health Insurance Bill when he voted against the resolution recognizing the importance of Christmas. McDermott said yesterday, while the Republicans are passing a resolution celebrating Christmas, the president was vetoing health care for children. There's a little bit of irony going on around here. There's more than a little bit, Representative McDermott. There is a massive amount. Steve King, I said Pence. It was Representative Steve King of Iowa who introduced the resolution. And the resolution essentially said that Christmas and Christians are important. Now, at the Crypt, one of the John Bresnahan writing at the Crypt writes, "Do we really need Congress to say Christmas and the Christian faith are important? Isn't that pretty self-evident by now? Don't Christians already pretty much run everything in this country? Except for the mainstream media, which is, of course, controlled by a Jewish Illuminati Bill Gates cabal. Don't we already get December 25th off? Wasn't I forced to shell out $65 for a scrawny Christmas tree this weekend? And what about the terrible songs that get endlessly recycled year after stinking year, and the catalogs that clog my mailbox despite my effort to get off the mailing list? Where will the horror end?" The House Resolution 847 said simply, "Whereas Christmas, a holiday of great significance to Americans and many other cultures and nationalities, is celebrated annually by Christians throughout the United States and the world. Whereas there are approximately 225 million Christians in the United States." Yeah, they need a resolution. "In the United States, making Christianity the religion of over 3/4 of the American population. Whereas there are approximately 2 billion Christians throughout the world. Whereas Christians identify themselves as those who believe in the salvation of sin, offer them to the sacrifice of their Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and who, out of gratitude for the gift of salvation, commit themselves to living their lives in accordance with the teachings of the Holy Bible. Whereas, on December 25th of each calendar year, American Christians observe Christmas, holiday celebrating the birth of their Savior, Jesus Christ. Whereas, for Christians, Christmas celebrated as recognition of God's redemption, mercy, and grace. And whereas, many Christians and non-Christians throughout the United States and the world would celebrate Christmas as a time to serve others, now therefore be it resolved that the House of Representatives, 1, recognizes the Christian faith as one of the great religions of the world. 2, expresses continued support for Christians in the United States and worldwide. 3, acknowledge international religious historical importance of Christmas and Christmas faith. 5, 4, whatever, knowledge supports the role played by Christians and Christianity in the founding of the United States."
See that?
"And in the formation of Western civilization."
Uh-huh.
"And 5, rejects bigotry and persecution directed against Christians." All 225 million of us in America. "And 6, expresses its deep respect to American Christians and Christians throughout the world. Trump, be it therefore resolved that something for today, I guess." Now, Steve King, The Republican of Iowa, who sponsored the revolution, oh boy, it's going to be one of those nights. Steve King says, well, I think there's an anti-Christian bias in the United States. I would not have thought that 5 or 10 years ago that we'd need to make a statement affirming the importance of Christmas and Christianity. But you know what? There's just an anti-Christian bias in this country. By whom, Mr. King? 225 million Christians, and yet this weaselly little nasty man and introduces such a dumb resolution. And the really weird part, 195 Democrats, as opposed to 177 Republicans, voted for it. I wonder how the Jews voted. How do you think the Jews voted, huh? You think they were 40 that didn't show up that day? It gets really difficult to maintain any kind of sense of equilibrium these days, doesn't it, Truth Seeker? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Soon they'll understand Christmas sucks. Whoa, every freaking year Christmas sucks. Christmas sucks. Christmas
sucks. You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. I want to share with you an email I got from Elizabeth Scholes, who is the Director of Public Policy, California Council of Churches, and the California Church Impact in Sacramento. This is in regard to what I was talking about the other night, about the Canadian father. I don't know if he has Canadian citizenship or not. He lives in Canada in a suburb of Toronto and murdered his daughter because she would not wear the hijab, the Muslim headscarf. Young girl. How old was she, Kathy? 16, I think. And I went off on Islam as a barbaric, medieval religion, another example of a classic example of why all religion turns my stomach. And I got this letter from Elizabeth. She writes, "Hi, I listen pretty faithfully and really, really think highly of you and your opinions. I do want to call you out, however, on your anger against Muslims and Islam. First, we are the progressive left of Christians. We are out of the wisdom tradition rather than the salvation tradition that was created by the early church to entice non-believers. We therefore believe in the commonality of human perspectives that are always seeking the truth and not at all sure we'll ever find it. So we're not either in hot pursuit of your immortal soul, presuming any of us have one, nor are we bleeding hearts who can't see the real truth. We are interested in promulgating democracy, human rights, peace, and justice, and we don't overlook the evil humans. We don't overlook the evil humans do, often in the name of their religion. Presuming the young Muslim woman in Canada was in fact strangled by her father, it would be entirely cultural, not Islamic, dicta, that led him to commit such a horrific act. Islam is an amazingly peaceful religion, and the Quran filled with directives toward justice and human rights. Women are not second-class citizens, and modesty and gentle behavior is directed for both males and females. As with any religion, or even secular belief, the culture in which it operates makes a huge difference. Take socialism. In Russia, it became hugely oppressive. In Scandinavia, it is deliciously humane. Same with Islam. In Saudi Arabia, any place dominated by extremists, it is horrific. But look at the many nations where Islam flourishes in support of women and human rights. Indonesia, the Balkans, several Mideast nations, all of which vary enormously. Is there a massive fundamentalist streak right now? Yep. Same is true with every religion. And there are world events that practically predicted it. Given the rise of the global society that narrows and eliminates people's rights and freedom of action, the response is too often the rise of fundamentalist thinking as the only out for people with little or no political control. Every Muslim extremist nation is one where Western corporations or governments has destroyed the autonomy of the indigenous people. It is hardly confined to Islam, it's global. When you can't control the forces around you that are destroying your life, too many people have only extremist religion to fall back on. For you, one of the smartest and thoughtful analysts on the air today, to tar Islam with one brush is really awful. You should indeed be the first to condemn what happened to this bright, smart young woman, but it had nothing to do with Islam and everything to do with the father's culture, his own sense of oppression and cultural loss. What he did, his perception of an honor killing, is forbidden in the Quran. Like most ignorant people, he probably doesn't even know it and has been brainwashed by others in his culture who equally don't know squat about their own religion. As one who has four friends and acquaintances brutally murdered by Christian wackos, I know whereof I speak. We are in a profound moment in world history in which we are increasingly rendered powerless by the political and economic forces around us. It's what you fight every waking moment. But some people respond by becoming Christian fundamentalists driven by a passion that not only separates them from the rest of us, but separates them from the wisdom of their faith. Bush no more represents Christianity than that Muslim father represents Islam. So, please stop the rant against Muslims and Islam. Jerry Falwell, when he was alive, Pat Robertson, all that ilk just feed off your anger. But it is misplaced and wrong. Islam did not dictate the honor killing of the young woman. Fear, ignorance, and stupidity did. Please don't give fear and divisiveness more power over all of us. You have the capacity to heal, and I have every confidence in your ability to fine-tune your analysis. You do it every day. Thanks if you've read this far. I appreciate your letting us all have our say. It's an increasingly rare thing these days. Signed, Elizabeth Scholes, Director of Public Policy, the California Council of Churches in Sacramento. Okay. I'll accept that. I have to admit I have a bit of a problem accepting it, but I think the letter writer here, Elizabeth, is probably much, much, much more educated on these issues than I am, and especially where it concerns the writings of the Quran. We have a copy right over there, don't we, Kathy? We have a copy on the shelf right there, and of course we have a copy of the Holy Bible, Bhagavad Gita, but I have not sat down and read the Quran cover to cover like I have the Bible. Excuse me. So if the truth is Islam does not subjugate women, okay, I'm being told that by Ms. Scholes, and I certainly will accept that. However, if someone were to tell me that Christianity doesn't subjugate women, I would have a problem with that. I get it. Here's where I find a problem in the way the religion defines itself and the way it's defined by its primary practitioners. As far as, let's take Christianity, and the largest denomination in Christianity, I believe, or the largest branch, is Catholicism. I think there are more Catholics than Protestants. Their interpretation of women is not as a co-equal partner in having anything to do with the faith. Let's take Protestantism. They rely on the teachings of, was it Paul, who in his letters to the church, the early churches in Greece and Turkey, made it clear that women were in a subordinate role. In fact, there's one verse, don't send it to me, I can't think of it offhand, where I think it's Paul admonishes the church at Corinth, if I'm not mistaken, that women are to shut up. They're not even to talk in church, much less preach. So those are two examples I have in Protestantism and Catholicism. I have Jewish friends in Orthodox Judaism, where it concerns worship in the temple or the synagogue, the role of women is decidedly reduced. Women have been expunged from the cultural record, historical, religious record of Judaism. There have been some religious icons, if that's the right word. Ruth comes to mind in Jewish religious history. But I have a good friend here who wrote a doctoral thesis. She's an Orthodox Jew, and her doctoral thesis was on not just the subjugation of women in Orthodox Judaism, but the almost elimination of women where it concerns doctrinal decisions in Judaism. So Judaism and the two major branches of Christianity, as far as I'm concerned, and again, I may be coming at this from strictly an ignorant point of view, but it's been my experience that these three religions, if I can separate them, Protestantism, Catholicism, and Judaism, in their fundamentalist sense, which is their original sense, denigrate, if not denigrate, at least subjugate or diminish the role of women. Now, if Islam is different in that, then that would be news to me. And I don't mean that as a sarcastic comment. It would truly be news to me because Islam, Judaism, and Christianity all take the same roots. They all have the same God. They all have the same prophets. They all have the same avatars to greater or lesser degrees. That, again, has just been my experience as strictly a layperson. I think I had one course 40 years ago in comparative religion. So if Christianity and Judaism have traditionally diminished the role of women and Islam has not, okay. I need to do some more reading in the Quran. So anyway, thanks for writing, Elizabeth. I appreciate what you had to say. And we shall take a break here, shan't we? We'll come back, and it's time to do some, let's do some phone calls. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
I got my plastic Jesus riding on the dashboard on my car. Through my trials and tribulations and my travels through the nations with my plastic Jesus.
Mike Malloy Show, you are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
It's about 10 before the hour. Let's do some phone calls here. Matthew is calling from San Diego. Matthew, welcome to the program.
Hello again, Mike.
Hey, Matthew, how you doing?
Not doing well. The 3 hours on CNN is enough to give me a couple hernias.
No, wait. 3 hours on CNN. You were on CNN?
No, well, I was watching it.
Oh.
You know, like you're on drugs or you're on caffeine. You know?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Nah, I'm really famous, Mike. No.
Well, you shouldn't be spending 3 hours watching CNN.
Well, I'm with my family who's, you know, that sort of thing, so they watch it. But anyway, okay. They were talking about Michael Mukasey.
Uh-huh.
And how right now he's taking on the stance of, nope, I'm not going to share any information about the CIA tapes.
Right. And this is a guy that Charles
Schumer... The Democrats nominated!
Right.
What the hell is wrong with our party?
Wait a second, Matthew. We don't have a party anymore.
Well, what the hell's wrong? Okay, fine. That's fair enough. But what the hell is wrong with sane-minded people? I mean, it's not the fact that... It was the Democrat who put him up, right?
Charles Schumer.
And,
Matthew, you've been calling the program so long, I can remember when you were a nice young kid who never used the word hell.
you probably remember too that I used to have faith in the Democratic Party, and that is why I have not nominated George Bush as the worst person. Now, George Bush is the worst person of the millennium, okay? But see, the thing is, these Republicans, they're vermin, they're pests, they're termites. I don't nominate pests.
Ooh.
For, worse people.
Okay.
I nominate people who we trust and who betray us. People who break us, who we put our trust in, and who just kind of takes that trust and stomps it. So, you know something? I'm sorry, I nominate not Nancy Pelosi for being an enabler, not an inhibitor.
Nancy Pelosi.
I nominate her for allowing these people, these Bush morons, these bastards who have taken our country so far into the ground that we're starting to see the slow glow, the very dim glow of the core, that, for allowing them to allow more deaths, to give more money into the war, and for making the country so that, I was screwed already, my generation was screwed already, before they came in, but by golly, they haven't helped anything. So if I could nominate a group of people, I'd nominate the Congressional Democrats. But if I have to nominate one person or two people, it'd be Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid for not doing anything.
And of those two, it would be Pelosi.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because Harry Reid has nothing to do with impeachment.
When Nancy Pelosi said the five words,
yeah,
impeachment is off the table,
yeah,
that was it. And she said that right off the bat, so she kind of got on my bad side pretty fast. But, impeachment is off the table, no. No, I'm sorry. Even if she wasn't wanting to impeach him right away, you can say, we can look into it. We can even start, some investigations, see what's going on here. Yeah, they opened up some, inquiries and stuff like that. But when you say impeachment is off the table, impeachment doesn't do anything. It's just the process before anything actually happens. But to say that's off the table, that is traitorous. And, they have betrayed us. They betrayed our votes. They have betrayed our people. They have betrayed our hopes. And, I know a lot of people who had hope that, they were going to change something. They were going to end the war. A lot of people did. But
yeah,
they betrayed it. And that is not forgivable.
All right. Yes, I do. All right, Matthew, obviously I'm going to award you with one of our giveaways tonight. First of all, to get the Pelosi thing out of the way, I really do agree with you, and I think most people do. And secondly, the passionate way you're describing your nomination of Pelosi is certainly a winner in my book. So we're going to put you on hold.
Thank you.
Ian will get the pertinent information. And there goes the first three texts, right? All right. Well, Matthew did. That's. I'm sure that everyone would possibly come up with Pelosi as the worst person in the world the worst person of the year because she betrayed a trust. Not that any leading Democrat that I'm aware of said, "Give us back the majority, even if you have to overcome the thievery that the Republicans have programmed into the voting machines, but give us back the majority and we'll impeach the son of a bitch." Nobody said that. But the implication, I think, was very clear, especially from the leadership of the active leadership of the Democratic Party, that we were watching through 6.5 years of this monstrous administration we were watching and experiencing the destruction of the Constitution, the destruction of the rule of law, whether it be domestic or international. And the implication, I think, for most of us, or the promise, the unspoken promise for most of us who voted Democratic, was that these bastards would be stopped, and they would be stopped as bluntly as possible, and that is with rolled-up copies of the Constitution. They would be swatted down like flies, horse flies. That's one of the reasons I voted Democratic. I could have just sat home on my ass this year, or last year, like some of us were inclined to do. So the Pelosi thing is that's a good nominee, and I think it's deserving of tonight's first gift of or prize of the Impeach Bush Now deck. So they go to Matthew. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Program on the Nova M Radio Network. There's another website you need to go to, and that is one set up by Robert Wexler, Democrat of Florida, member of the House. He is also on the Judiciary Committee. It is the WexlerWantsHearings.com. Wexler, W-E-X-L-E-R. Wexler Wants Hearings.com. The case for hearings is made by Wexler, Luis Gutierrez, and Tammy Baldwin, respectively, all Democrats, Wexler from Florida, Gutierrez from Illinois, Baldwin from Wisconsin. And you can read in its entirety this outline, the case for hearings, at WexlerWantsHearings.com. What he says briefly, on November 7th, the House of Representatives voted to send a resolution of impeachment of Cheney to the Judiciary Committee. Remember that? That was when the Democrats wanted a resolution. The Republicans jumped on board, and the halls of Congress were just filled with snotty-ass Republican comments. But anyway, the resolution made it to the House Judiciary Committee, where it just sits. These three members of Congress write, as members of the House Judiciary Committee, we strongly believe these important hearings should begin. The issues at hand are too serious to ignore, including credible allegations of abuse of power that, if proven, may well constitute high crimes and misdemeanors under our Constitution. The charges against Vice President Cheney relate to his deceptive actions leading up to the Iraq War, the revelation of the identity of a covert agent for political retaliation, and the illegal wiretapping of American citizens. And it goes on. So go to WexlerWantsHearings.com and check this out. They close by saying, holding hearings would put the evidence on the table, and the evidence, not politics, should determine the outcome. Even if the hearings do not lead to removal from office, putting these grievous abuses on the record is important for the sake of history. For an administration that has consistently skirted the Constitution and asserted that it is above the law, it is imperative for Congress to make clear that we do not accept this dangerous precedent. Our founding fathers provided Congress the power of impeachment for just this reason. and we must now at least consider using it. Well, of course, I agree. Somebody emailed me and said that Wexler was on Randy Rhoads' program today. He is, or was, her member of Congress when she lived in Florida. And the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday voted for a contempt citation against Karl Rove and Josh Bolten. It was a 12-7 vote, pretty much along party lines. The citation against the two now goes to the full Senate. And it'll be determined... Well, the committee vote, the Senate Judiciary Committee vote, means that contempt citations against Bush administration officials await floor action in both chambers of commerce, Congress. That's all it means. Tony Fratto, a White House spokesman, said they, referring to the members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, they should be fully aware of the futility of pressing ahead on this. It has long been understood, he says, that in circumstances like these, that the constitutional prerogatives of the president would make it a futile and purely political act for Congress to refer contempt citations to U.S. attorneys, end quote. The arrogance of these bastards is just, it's choking, isn't it? It's just choking. It seems like that's all the Democrats can do is pass these resolutions. No offense to Wexler. I happen to like Wexler, except for his position on the Middle East, but that's understandable since Wexler's Jewish. And he's very, very, very one-sided where it concerns the Israeli-Palestinian issue. But, you know, water's wet and the sun will rise tomorrow. Where it concerns his defense of Clinton... when the last impeachment hearings were held and the trial was held, I've got to give Wexler an awful lot of credit for that and for his stand on every single issue except where it concerns the Israeli-Palestinian horror. And on that one, he gets an F as far as I'm concerned. But that's a whole different topic, and I digress. I think any of these resolutions that the Democrats can get passed by simple majority votes are at least leaving a paper trail, an historical record, that somebody was trying in a very watered-down way, but still trying to do something to stop these sons of bitches in the Bush crime family. That's the only way they can do it. House Democratic leaders agreed to Bush's spending limit on this half-trillion-dollar domestic spending bill the other day. The Democrats dropped their demands for as much as $22 billion in additional spending for things like children's health care. The Democrats caved again. As the Washington Post, which is really starting to irritate the hell out of me, as the Washington Post reported, the agreement signaled that congressional Democrats are ready to give in to the Bush crime family, my term, demands, as they, the Democrats, try to finish the session before they break for Christmas. A political victory for Chucklenuts, who's refused, of course, to compromise on anything. So, you know, here is this arrogant little twit sitting in the White House. The House of Representatives controls the purse strings of this country. That's how it was set up. They're the ones that determine how much money, where's it going to go? What the hell happened to that function? Why aren't they lining up and giving this jackass the middle finger and saying, no, sorry, George, we compromise, we work together, but they don't. They don't. They collapse every single time. Like I've said many times, the Democratic Party leadership in the House and the Senate turns my stomach. I've never seen such a bunch of cowards. I've never seen so many people who are just get along, go along, who are so intimidated by this twit in the White House. What are they afraid? He's going to send the troops in and invade them? Shock and awe on the House of Representatives? Bombing? What the hell are they afraid of? You cowardly bastards. Oh, yeah, the Post says Democratic leaders tried to put the best face on their surrender. You see, this is how the liberal media, Jonathan Weissman writing at the Post, Democratic leaders tried to put the best face on their surrender on domestic spending levels, promising that the final bill will reflect their priorities. If not their preferred funding. I can barely stand. And you know, it's been interesting to me. I started jumping on Democrats when they were in the minority. and at various websites around the internet that follow talk radio, not the least of which is one of my favorites, Democratic Underground. Not the consensus, but there was a lot of opinion. There goes that goddamn Malloy again, busting up on Democrats. You know, the Republicans do that. He's just like Rush Limbaugh. And, you know, some people would come to my defense on those message boards. I didn't respond, but some people would say, wait a second, you know, Malloy is right. They are cowardly. They are refusing to stop these nominations. They are refusing to filibuster. They are refusing, even though they're minority. So look what happens. They get a very slim majority, and the Republicans just keep kicking their asses as badly as when they were in the minority. The point I'm trying to make is I've noticed more and more and more people politically active, at least in their heads, like I am, active around the internet, have finally come around to the same conclusion that the Democratic Party leadership is a train wreck. They're useless. They're worse than useless. They are enablers of this corrupt administration. Now, it's hell. It's one thing to stand back with your hands folded and your lips pursed and go, oh, well, I think that's terrible. It's something else again to enable this dry drunk in the White House to and this murderous bastard vice president to continue to do what they're doing. These people are enablers, the Democratic Party leadership. They're allowing this to continue. They are gutless, absolutely gutless. So, yeah, go to Wexler's website. Maybe you'll find something there that you can do to support what he and Tammy Baldwin and Luis Gutierrez is trying to do. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
I'm a liberal. I vote for the Democratic Party. They want the UN to be strong. I attend all the Pete Seeger concerts. He sure gets me singing those songs. And I'll send all the money you ask for, but don't ask me to come on along. So love me, love me, love me, I'm a liberal. Sure, once I was young.
I call collect on the phone. You say you're tired and alone. But it sounds like someone else is lying there. She said, don't call me no more. Don't you knock on my door.
It's making the pie higher. It's more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour.
She said.
Back to your phone calls. Mary is calling from Denver, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Mary.
Hey, how you doing there, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Well, you know, to say that Nancy Pelosi is the worst, she would have had to have committed treason and high crimes of war profiteering and inducing tyranny on people.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to say I do agree with the lady that wrote you the letter. That's me. I'm not any religious denominations. However, I think the dark side of Pinocchio is coming out. No, George Bush. So I'm going to nominate George.
George Bush is the...
of course, Brother Bev. What do you think?
I agree with what you're saying, that the worst person last year is... someone who committed the very acts that you were describing. But Bush is not a leader. He never has been.
No, he's like I said, he's the dark side of Pinocchio.
Well, I don't. Well, I may agree with you there. But I don't think that Bush is... he's never been an innovator or a leader. He doesn't have the kind of mind that could destroy everything. The way his administration...
No.
His administration has done. That comes from people much smarter in a sick, twisted, dark way.
Well, he's mentally retarded, sir.
Yeah, that would be people like Cheney and Gonzalez and all these other people who were managing him.
Okay, I'll change my nomination.
No, no, that's all right. I think he's a terrible, terrible, terrible person to be president of the United States. You know, all Bush ever wanted to be was baseball commissioner. They should have given that to him. And think how many people on this planet would be alive today here in America. And Iraq and Afghanistan, if George W. Bush had been made baseball commissioner, which was as high as his ambition ever wanted to go, is just to be baseball commissioner. So.
Well, I agree. You know, I think Alex Jones is that. You know, when I was driving my truck down I-5 and I stopped at a little place called Pollard Flat.
Uh-huh.
I'm Bullwinkle, by the way. They call me, my name is Mary, but they call my handle is Bullwinkle. There's going to be a lot of people listening. I'm sure there is.
Bullwinkle.
You know, like Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Yeah, no, I know who Bullwinkle is.
I'm just a big old ugly Norwegian there, buddy. But anyway, you know, to say who the worst person is, I realize the betrayal of Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
And also the dungeon that Cheney lives in. Well, it's hard to say Nancy Pelosi's the worst, but she's the one who's betrayed us in the most recent, okay? Is that I want those damn cards. I want a deck for my sister and my other sister. I got three sisters. And I have two brothers.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Mary. I appreciate you checking in, but we've already done the Pelosi thing, and you make excellent points on Bush. But I'll tell you what, you'll have another chance at winning three decks next week. Now, if you don't win, all you have to do, you see, is go to impeachbushcards.com. And you can pick them up there. Thanks, Mary. I appreciate you checking in. Drive safely. You have a nice evening. Jerry is calling from Georgia, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Jerry.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Jerry.
Yes, I was going to say the same thing, George Bush. Not only of the year, but all of his life. He started out as a kid being mean to animals, loved to kill frogs. He couldn't make it there. Then he was a drunk. And a druggie. Then he was in the service. He couldn't do that. He went AWOL. Now he gets to be president by hook or by crook and all the money from the family all the way, all of his life. He's been absolutely terrible. This is the first time I've called. We've been listening for a long time. My wife just loves you, your program.
Well, thank you.
We've listened from a Chicago station, and then we lost you.
Yeah.
And we go down every winter to Florida, so then we finally got you in Georgia, where we're at right now. We're in a campground in Georgia between Ackville and Cartersville.
Yeah, well, if you're listening on Sirius Satellite Radio, you can pick us up all over the country.
Yes, well, we finally got. That's what we are listening now on Sirius.
Super.
We finally got the satellite, so now it's unbelievable. Your program is just great, and we love it. There's nothing on TV. We hate watching TV, but we just love listening to radio. And at home, we live outside in Milwaukee, so we listen to a lot of NPR, which is great, out of Madison, well, out of Milwaukee, and then stations out of Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I love Milwaukee. I spent a month there one night with some friends, some rock and roll friends, And Kathy and I, and it was at the Lakefront Festival that y'all have there every summer, and we just had a good old time. Jerry, thanks, I appreciate it, man. Drive safely, have a good vacation. All right, True Seekers, big break here. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
We could say the last sea turtles, but they don't vote, so I don't care. Compassionate conservative, don't know what it means. It's something we cooked up for press release. Texas leads the world in the
Yesterday's positive report card shows children do learn when standards are high and results are measured.
Before the hour, our military correspondent here in the North Metro Atlanta area sent me an email here. This is on Daily Kos, a Daily Kos from Bill in Portland. This is the Democratic leadership's new oath of office. Okay, you ready? I, state your name, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully warm my chair in Congress and will, to the best of my ability, remember to put my coat on the correct peg in the cloakroom, flush after I go pee-pee or poopies, show up to work fully clothed, brush my teeth twice a day, hold hands when crossing the street, use the plastic safety scissors instead of the sharp ones that the grown-ups keep in the high-up drawer, give the president all my lunch money, and use my indoor voice at all times. I promise to collapse, cave, and kowtow in the name of political calculation, even when soldiers are dying daily in a war I have the power to stop. To convince Americans that I lack courage, conviction, and common sense in the pursuit of a brass ring that can't be grabbed for another year, to do everything in my power to meet the needs of my Republican friends and colleagues across the aisle, lest they get upset with me and give me wedgies. So help me God. Here's the Republican leadership's new oath of office. I, state your name, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully do whatever the hell I feel like and get away with it. God damn, this is great. Oh, look, there's a Democrat. Wedgie squad, go! Thank you, Jesus. Ain't that the truth? Thanks, Sharon. Ain't that the truth? One more email here, and then back to your phone calls. This is from Bridget. This is regarding the discussion I had, not discussion, but I read Elizabeth Scholl's email about Islam and the murder of, in so many instances, the murder of young girls because they don't follow what the father claims is the dictates of Islam. And Elizabeth's position was that it's a cultural rather than a religious thing. And my response to that is what it was. But Bridget was listening to the whole thing, writes, Mike, if the deity is male, how can the female be equal or at least not diminished? If the center of the religion is a male figure or a philosophy that is based in a male perspective, the feminine will be subjugated. I challenge anyone to show me a religion in this world that has a male figure as its main focus that actually gives women equal status to men and the basic principles of that religion. The only spiritual paths I know that truly honor the feminine are the earth-based paths, such as Wicca, or some of the Native American paths, like the Cherokee. The paths that honor the earth honor the feminine. The ones that are focused on getting to, quote, heaven, end quote, invariably emphasize the male and denigrate the female because it is the connection to the earth. Women have the capacity to bring life into the world and are willing to nurse babies, sit up with sick children, and clean butts. Male-dominated religions want to get out of the physical realm and float on the clouds with harp music and 49 virgins. In my experience, the male-dominated religions don't want to hear about grief or sex or ecstasy. Structured male religions are what has taken our beloved planet, the goddess, into the desperate condition we find it. A male god, quote, quote, will not save this planet. I don't know that the goddess will either, but the mindset that honors the feminine has a heck of a lot better chance. Bridget. Yeah, I certainly agree with that and have agreed with that point of view since, oh my God, since 1972? Whenever it was that I read The Female Eunuch, all of a sudden it was like, what? 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 Huh? Germaine Greer, the Aussie feminist who wrote The Female Eunuch? What? What is she saying? And then, of course, as I deconstructed whatever religious claptrap had been poured into me by two generations in my family, it became very clear to me the scope of bigotry against women. And also, I have to, I'm not trying to make it sound like I'm, ready to cast aside my maleness and become, a leader in the march toward feminine dominance. I'm not. I believe in equality. I just do. That can never come about because of cultural influences or religious influences. But I think it was. I think that's the idea. Or the ideal is equality between the sexes, or among the sexes, because God knows there are more than two, right? But deconstructing my own religious beliefs and parsing it down to the realization that there's no there, it became very abundantly clear to me the. I mean, just think about it. The according to the Christian faith, and I guess the Jewish religion also, since they both begin the same way, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In that story in Genesis, it's the evil, dirty, filthy woman who, in an evil, dirty, filthy way, consorts with evilness, dirtiness, and filth when she agrees with the snake to eat of the forbidden fruit. And what does God say? Okay, bitch, here's what you're stuck with for the rest of eternity. When you bring forth the child, you're going to wish you were dead. Come on, get out of here. Get out of here with that. So, yeah, I mean, certainly, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, as far as I'm concerned, with all due respect to Elizabeth Scholes, who wrote in defense of the teachings of Islam, I respect what she wrote, and as I conceded, having the position she has, I'm sure she is on much firmer intellectual ground about these issues than I am. But, as far as the three people of the book are concerned, the role of women is, if it exists at all, is absolutely subservient at best and condemned. I mean, the Orthodox Jews won't go near a woman after she has her menstrual cycle until she cleanses herself from the filth of her own blood. What? What? What?
Ah. Well, what is it Mike Huckabee said just recently about women being subservient?
I have no
idea. Women should gently or graciously submit to the will of their husbands.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what if they're gay? Who do you submit to then?
I don't have...
Well, Eddie Bauer?
Is that a theological question? Who do you submit to if you're gay? I have no idea. Whoever happens to be wearing the leather that night, I guess. I don't know. It reminds me of that poem. Heathcliff was on the moor last night. In his eyes, a look of wild joy. Tonight, the moor is on Heathcliff. It's his turn to be the boy. So I don't know who you submit to. I love the way the fundamentalist Christians present that, though, that the husband is to be, how do they do that? He is to be the dominant servant of his willing wife. I mean, it is linguistic gymnastics to a degree that just turns my little punkin brain into a pretzel. They're stating, what is that, cognitive dissonance? Stating two absolutely different concepts at one time. You talk about newspeak. You know, the man is dominant, but he's only dominant because he is subservient to the woman's desire to be dominated. Is that how it goes? Oh, it just all makes me sick. All right, where are we? We're getting way behind here. Rich is calling in from New Jersey, listening on the Internet. Rich, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, Mike, how are you tonight?
I'm all right. How are you?
Before I talk to you about where I want to give you my nomination,
all right.
I got kind of a half-witted joke for you here.
All right.
What do Tony Fratto and 7 of 9 of the Borg have in common?
What does Tony Fratto and...
Seven of nine of the Borg of Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, okay, what?
They both say that resistance is futile.
Are you the one that signs your emails with that?
No.
That's not
no,
you?
No, I'm not. I can't take credit for that, Mike.
No, someone's... What did they say, Kathy? I think it's a woman who sends me these emails that are signed, I am dyslexic. Okay. All right. Well, never mind. All right. That's very funny. It's a real knee slapper now.
Yeah.
Who do you want to nominate?
All right. This could get me in trouble and maybe get you in trouble, too, but I'm going to put it out there.
All right.
John Conyers.
As the worst person of this year.
That's right.
Why?
Because after the House, with the snotty Republicans, shot themselves in the foot to vote for sending the Articles of Impeachment, H.R. 333, to the House Judiciary Committee.
Yeah.
Congress just let it sit on his desk because he's still taking his marching orders from the chief enabler, Pelosi. And he didn't resist, and he didn't go forward and resist her, doing the will of the people. Now, if you remember 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Mike, when he was conducting that forum.
Yeah, he was forced into the basement, yeah.
Right. And he had, the Upper Downstream memo.
Right, right.
And he had Ray McGovern and Cindy Sheehan and Randy Rhodes and others testifying.
Right.
And he was making all kind of noise then about, cryptic noises back then about, well, if we can get this thing to see the light of day, we're going to investigate and move to impeachment if the facts lead us where we find them to go. And what happened? What happened to his spine?
Well, Rich, that's a good nomination, Conyers, but I don't think it rises quite to the level of the worst person in 2007. But I take your point. You make a good one. Rich, I got to leave there. Thanks, pal. We'll be back after the break, everybody. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Sky full of poison.
Tax cuts matter. So when somebody builds a new building, somebody's got to come and build the building. And when the building expanded, it prevented additional opportunities for people to work, new opportunity employments.
His face was round and reddish, and his hair was slightly curled. He didn't look too different from the others that I had seen. Who'd have thought he was the answer to this nation's dream? At first, he didn't seem to be too intelligent at all. Every time he'd start to walk, he'd stumble and he'd fall. My first impression was to be a most...
It's about 8 before the hour. Back to your phone calls here. Arnold is calling from North Carolina, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Arnold.
Hey, Michael. What's up, Mike?
You are.
Yes, sir. First of all, let me get my nominee out of the way so I can talk to you about other things.
Okay.
I'm nominating the 21st century Rasputin, Karl Rove.
All right.
This year is worse. I mean, even though he's orchestrated many behind whoopings to those Democrats in the past and mastermind so many things that made Democrats stupid. This year he's done it good. And he escaped the White House before being led away in chains. He's got up there, he's lying up and down the street. He just stubbed a nose at him when they try to put when they try to get him to come in front of Congress.
Subpoena,
that's right. And then he gets up on Charlie Rose show and tell a masterful lie. And I know you got some nitwits out there believing that. Then he goes to call my man Obama, tell him, say, hey, this is how you beat Miss Hillary. I mean, come on now. I mean, this guy stinks like crap. You know it. That's not what I really called, but that's still.
All right. Wait a minute. Arnold, that Kathy and I both, she's giving me a thumbs up. So you get the second set of three decks here.
Ow.
Because yeah, Karl Rove, oh, I don't even want to talk about it. But all right, Arnold, you got that second set. So now here's what happens. When the phone call's over here, don't hang up. We'll put you on hold, and Ian will get your mailing address and then send it to me so we can get this out to you Monday. All right? Now, what else you got?
Now, last night, I just knew everything was in the right place. I was going to get to hear my favorite part of what Mike Malone showed. You know I told you about that before. You're my 180-pound rock robber on the chain. I just knew you was all worked up last night. You know, you was doing you was crashing into the right Frank or Neil Bort. I just knew one of the people was going to call.
I don't like Borts. I do not.
I hate his guts.
I used, you know, he and I used to work together. He and I used to do a thing called Buttheads on WSB Radio. He is a sneak, a snake, a liar. I don't like him. And when I heard that thing the other day where he was talking about the only reason Al Gore is talking about global warming is because Al Gore's reputation rests on it, I just about went through the roof of my pickup truck. I mean, I can't handle stuff like that. He is a punk of the highest order.
Man, I can't stand the guy. But, you know, I was hoping the way you crashed into his right flank, I just knew one of his listeners was going to call you. You know, the ones who got that Neil Bort fecal matter cave up on the bridge of their nose,
right,
call you up.
Right.
And I knew you were going to let that 180-pound rock while I was going to let the mistake come up with my music, Atomic Dog. Oh, man, I just knew the attack was in last night and didn't happen. Didn't materialize.
Well, no, Bort's fans don't call me because they know what part of their anatomy will be handed to them, but the phone calls are what they do is send me these cheesy little emails from these non-traceable websites like Gmail or Hotmail or whatever, you know. The Bort's fans, like Bort's himself, they're all cowards. And you know, that's all right. Everybody's got to be something. Some of us are brave. Some of us are honest. Some of us are cowardly little snotty-ass Republicans. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I thought everything was lined up. I felt I had a good feeling. Because, you know, I love to hear you when you get them, man. I love to hear you get them on the radio.
Hey, Arnold. Hey, pal, I got to go. We got a break. All right, Arnold, stay on hold. Don't go away.
Okay.
Don't go away. We'll put Arnold on hold. And there goes the second set tonight. We got one more set to give away, right? All right, one more set of three. This is coming along real well. This is coming along real well. All right, I don't want to take anybody right now because we got a break coming up here in about 30 seconds. But Russell in Wichita is up next, and then then who else? Ross, Valerie, and whoever's coming in on that first line. So we'll get to all your phone calls tonight. The number again is 800-989-14. Well, I don't mean we'll get to all of them. We never get to all of them, but you notice I'm not talking as much tonight, right? Some people out there going, yeah, thank God. All right, stick around. The truth will set you free. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
Midnight choir, I have tried in my way.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. one of the reasons I like the audience of this program so much is you folks are just such a broad spectrum of points of view, plus the fact that some of you are just smarter than hell. A couple of emails here. This is from Rose in California. Hi, Mike. One of the main principles of the Baha'i faith is the equality of men and women. A Baha'i friend of mine once told me that if it came down to a choice between educating a boy or a girl, Baha'i believe it's the girl who should be educated because it's the woman who generally has the first contact in raising children and therefore has paramount influence. And also Quakers and equality. What did I do with the Quakers letter, Kathy? I have it right here. Someplace. I know I have it. I know I have it. Stay with me a second, damn it. Just stay with me because this is important stuff. This is important stuff. We're onto this religious thing. We can't get away from it. This is from Angela. She writes, Mike, someone wrote into your show and wanted to be challenged to know of any religion besides pagan and indigenous that holds women equal to man. In fact, Quakerism is one such religion. Quakers, the Religious Society of Friends, have the testimony of equality, along with simplicity, peace, integrity, and community. They are the one religion that never had to apologize to women. The Quakers believe that all people are created equal in the eyes of God. Since all people embody the same divine spark, all people deserve equal treatment. The Quakers were some of the first to value women as important ministers and to campaign for women's rights. They became leaders in the anti-slavery movement, were among the first to pioneer humane treatment for the mentally ill and for prisoners. From Angela. Thanks, Angela. And the one that I like here is the email that just that came in about this, where it concerns Joseph Campbell. Most of us remember his series with Bill Moyers, the Power of Myth. Remember that? Michael writes in, at the time of his death, Campbell was in the midst of working on a large format, lavishly illustrated series entitled The Historical Atlas of World Mythology. Now remember, when you're talking about Campbell, the word mythology and the word religion are interchangeable, those two words. Michael writes, this series was to build on Campbell's idea, first presented in The Hero with a Thousand Faces, that myth evolves over time through four stages. Religion evolves, then, through four stages over time. First is the way of the animal powers. That's the myths of the Paleolithic hunter-gatherers, which focus on shamanism and animal totems. Then comes the way of the seeded earth. This is the way Campbell was going to write it. And those are the myths of Neolithic agrarian cultures, which focus on a mother goddess and associated fertility rites. Then third comes, according to Campbell, comes the way of the celestial lights. Those are the myths of the Bronze Age city-states with pantheons of gods ruling from the heavens, led by a masculine god-king. And finally, the fourth is the way of man, religion and philosophy as it developed around the 6th century BCE, in which the mythic imagery of previous eras was made consciously metaphorical, reinterpreted as referring to psycho-spiritual, not literal historical matters. This transition is evidenced in the East by Buddhism, Vedanta, and philosophical Taoism, and in the West by the mystery cults, Platonism and Gnosticism. Only the first two volumes were completed at the time of Campbell's death. Both are now out of print. He was another person that had quite an influence on me. That series, The Power of Myth, do you remember that? When was that, in the early 80s? Wow. Okay, no, this is not religion today. This is not a comparative religious course at Emory University. It just sounds like it is, and that's because you all are so damn smart, and I am just a seeker wandering around here bumping into stuff. So let us go back to your phone calls to Russell, who is listening in Wichita, Kansas, on Sirius Satellite Radio. I thought Wichita was just wiped out with the ice storms, Russell.
Well, we did get some ice, but it was much worse north of Utah.
Yeah, well, that's good. I'm glad you got spared.
Yes. Well, I have a nomination.
Okay.
I was going to nominate Howard K. Stern.
Mm-hmm.
And a Nicole Smith lawyer that tried to snap a rich baby. That's pretty low.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, stealing a baby just for money. But the real daddy got the kid, right?
Yeah.
And isn't it a little girl?
Yes.
Yeah, it is a little girl. And the real daddy, the blonde guy, he got the baby. The brunette guy did not get the baby. But the brunette guy, you know, Howard K. Stern, you got to give him credit. When the DNA tests come back, he didn't start screaming and kicking his feet and demanding a recount. You know, he just,
that's true.
Yeah, he just said, okay, well, you know, I thought I was the one who had impregnated the voluptuous, what was her name? Smith. Anna Nicole Smith. Right.
And I guess he wasn't the only one that was claiming, or was it Dog Gabor's husband?
Right. My next door neighbor over here out in the hills of the North Georgia Mountains, he claimed that too. He came over one day carrying his jug with him and he said, "Hey, Malloy, oh, damn it, I'll tell you what, boy. I'll tell you who was with Anna Nicole. I was." Son of a bitch. He did. That's exactly what he said, Russell. We talk like that down here. All right, Russell, thank you. I appreciate your call. I think Howard K. Stern was the newscaster. I think Howard K. Stern is a good nominee, but he doesn't quite rise to the level of worst person in 07, at least according to our panel of judges here. Valerie is calling from Las Vegas. Hey, Valerie, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Valerie.
I love your show, and I really want to tell you that I like what you did with the teenagers calling in a while back.
That was fun. Yeah, we're going to do that again at some point.
It was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
My nomination is Alberto Gonzalez to counter. Did I hear something about the vote by the Bar Association or something that he was the top?
No, he got I think it's American Lawyer Magazine. Named him Lawyer of the Year, and they immediately attached a disclaimer. They said, look, we're not saying that he's the best lawyer or the most honorable person, and they pointed out that in the history of naming Time's Man of the Year, it used to be Man of the Year instead of Person of the Year, they named, I think, Hitler twice and mm-hmm. Stalin once. So it's not who is the nicest, it's who generated the most controversy or the most news or whatever in a given year, and on that basis, I can see why the American Lawyer would name Gonzalez. But but why do you nominate him as the worst person of the year?
Oh, he's just pathetic. I mean, Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld, and they're a given. I mean, they're just a given worst persons in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Gonzalez, I think, was just totally unqualified and a bumbling idiot.
Well, who was it that, maybe it was Kathy here, that started referring to him as torture boy?
Yeah.
I think he certainly is qualifies because it was Gonzalez who way back in, he made his bones working for Bush back in the great state of Texas when the two of them, Gonzalez, I believe, was a Supreme Court justice at one point. He was state attorney general and a real bastard, especially where it concerned death penalty cases. There's no way of knowing how many innocent people were executed in the state of Texas for crimes they didn't commit.
Yeah.
Because of Gonzalez and Bush. All right. I think that's the winner. Valerie, I'm going to put you on hold.
Thanks.
All right. Put you on hold. Don't hang up. And Ian is going to get your name and address, how to send these to you. So there we go. Pelosi, Rove, and Gonzalez tonight. And I think that is a real rogues gallery. That certainly does it for me. But we will be giving away more Impeach Bush Now cards next week. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
My job is a decision-making job, and as a result, I make a lot of decisions, and it's important for me to have an opportunity to speak to you and others who would be listening, explain why I have made some of the decisions I have made, the basis on which I have made decisions, to explain the philosophy behind some of the decisions I have made.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right, Pelosi, Rove, and Gonzalez. And our three winners tonight will be getting each three decks of the Impeach Bush Now cards. And again, these things are really something. And I was saying that before they started advertising on the program. We've got two advertisers on this show now. I guess they're on, I don't know if they're on other programs on KPHX or Nova M, but the, what is the one with the fish? Evolvefish.com. Is it evolvefish.com? Amazing website. I've got one of those Evolve Fish on the back of my pickup truck, which is always fun to have back there when I'm driving around out here in the North Georgia mountains. Hey, boy, what the hell's that mean? Don't you believe in our Lord and Jesus? But Evolve Fish and ImpeachBushCards.com. I love businesses like that. I love sites like that. I love this kind of stuff. If you're going to spend any money, you know, further trashing the birth of the Christian Savior by all this commercial crap like Kathy and I do, then go there. Go to these websites. And I'll tell you one more to go to. I'll tell you a third group that I'm glad is advertising here, and that's superbeans.com. These are all web-based businesses, and I think they're wonderful. I have become, and they're all liberal, yeah, Kathy says, I have become a coffee connoisseur thanks to Bob Alexander over at superbeans.com. And but the creativity involved in all three of those businesses, to me, I love that. I love that. Somebody said to me, yeah, you don't have McDonald's advertising on your program. And my answer to that was, yeah, thank God. I'm serious.
Well, McDonald's coffee is terrible and could scald your thighs and give you permanent skin damage.
That's true.
But I have to just say, I had never purchased Kona coffee before because...
You're too damned expensive.
It's on my pay grade. But I'm telling you, this stuff, it's like drinking liquid heaven or something. As great. Bucky would say in the cartoons, this must be what angels taste like. It's just... It's wonderful stuff.
And the prices at Bob's website are a hell of a lot less expensive than what we found it to be at various places around Atlanta. So anyway, those three web-based businesses that advertise on this program, thank you. I appreciate it, plus the fact that all three of you have excellent products. All of that by way of thanking the people who put together ImpeachBushCards.com. It's just an amazing thing. The fact that they sent it to all 535 members of Congress just absolutely cracks me up. Absolutely cracks me up. What a thing to do. That, I had to have sent him back a few bucks. Good Lord. Just the postage, right? Unless they were hand-delivered. I don't know. But... back to your phone calls. Ross is calling from Ohio, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Hey, Ross, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine.
I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller, bud, and I got to tell you, I got in kind of like on the tail end of this contest. Does this go for Democrats or Republicans?
Absolutely. It goes for anybody. Now the contest is over for tonight, but we are going to be hey, I'll tell you what, turn the radio down there. I know you're listening on XM, Ross, but I'm getting some feedback here. The contest is over from tonight, but we're going to be doing it next Friday night, which is our Christmas show. So you'll have another shot at it. But who did you want to nominate?
Harry Reid.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm almost embarrassed to, tell you where I'm I'm from. I lived in Las Vegas, Nevada for 21 years, and I think what's happened to him is he's forgot to grab a hold of the twins and figure out who he is, because I don't even think he could run a little Girl Scout group. You know, he makes me sick every time I hear him, and I've been a Democrat all my life. But besides the point, Mike, you're the man, you know, and I'm so discouraged with our party. It just really boggles my mind, you know.
Well, you're not alone. A lot of people who are trying desperately, like I am, to remain a Democrat in spite of what the Democratic Party leadership consists of now, and in spite of what the party leadership did where it concerned Al Gore and John Kerry, still trying to remain a Democrat is difficult, but... you know, hang in there. Ross, I got to leave there. Thanks, pal. Drive safe. We'll talk again. We'll be back after the break, Truth Seeker. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the line of a dark black night.
Doing talk radio right. From the left, it's More of Mike Malloy.
Aram is calling from Tucson, listening via the internet. Aram, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Not bad. Long time I haven't called in. I just changed my phone number, so I had to wait. I know your contest is over, but I was listening to it and called in late. So I don't have one. I actually have a twofer.
Yeah?
And they're all Democrats.
All right.
First one's Rahm Emanuel. Thanks to him, we have blue dogs up the wazoo in the House of Representatives, so nothing is done.
That's a good point.
And the second two are Chuck Schumer and Dianne Feinstein.
Yep.
Because they gave us Mulcahy because they were too spineless to say no to him. And if you check the news today, you will see that the White House has said that issuing contempt citations is pointless because it has to run through the Department of Justice, and the Department of Justice is run by the Attorney General,
yeah.
And the Attorney General is a neocon piece of garbage.
Hello!
So if you really want to nominate somebody, you're going to have to nominate the people that are sticking it to real Democrats,
that are making it
hard for real Democrats to actually care anymore.
Yeah, I know, and I agree with you. Rahm Emanuel, as head of he was head of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, wasn't he?
He was part of the
DLC. It was his job.
No, it's the DCCC he was.
That's right, DCCC. And one of his jobs was to funnel money. Had they funneled money to Nancy Skinner, who was running against this Nolenberg creep in the Detroit area, she would have been defeated that Republican. But they didn't, because I don't know why they didn't back Nancy Skinner. I have no idea. But those are good nominees. The problem that I have, they don't rise to the level of the worst person.
Well, the way I look at it is each one of these people have done their best to help in the destruction of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, because they tacitly give in every time the Cokehead-in-Chief does something. He wants this Attorney General. They don't do a vise and consent. They roll over, put their legs in the air, and say, please, please be gentle.
Yeah, well, that's true, too.
So as far as I'm concerned, when you are involved in destroying the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, I don't care how many people you kill. You are destroying this country.
Well, I hear you, Aram, loud and clear. And again, like I say, I think all three nominees certainly qualify, but not quite to the level of worst person.
They, I understand that.
They were enablers, like so many Democrats are, but it was no direct decision of theirs that directly resulted in a direct
No,
attack.
I can't disagree with the people that you mentioned. Rove and Gonzalez, I forgot who the third one was, but Pelosi, excuse me.
Yeah, Pelosi.
All three of them are just absolutely perfect.
Just, they're horrifying.
Makes me cringe. I keep thanking God, and I'm Jewish, I'm thanking God that the 2007's over. Hopefully 2008 won't be as bad as this year was.
2008 is going to be the year, I think, that's going to twist so many minds. Aram, I think there is a metaphorical flood on its way. So just make sure your ark is built, pal.
Oh, no problem. No problem. I'll
All right.
Take my Camaro and just ready for the flood.
There you go. Thanks, Aram. Take care. Take care. We'll talk again. Kathy, I have an email here from Buster Brown, who is reminding us. Says, "Dear Mike, in case someone has not mentioned, don't forget about that lovely rendition of O Holy Night that you play around this time of the year. We just love it."
You might be referring to O Holy Nightmare.
O Holy Nightmare. Now, most of the people have been following this program for all the years as we have been batted around like a cat bats a ball of... What's that stuff, the cat bats? Catnip.
That would be yarn, Mike.
Yarn. If you've been following this program, you know about 5 years ago, somebody sent us The Unholy Night?
Well, that'd be a good one, too. It wasn't titled, but I subsequently gave it the title of O Holy Nightmare.
O Holy Nightmare, that's right. And we've played it every year. It is the most astonishing rendition of what used to be one of my favorite Christmas carols. Well, the mere fact that we'll probably do it next week as a preview to the Christmas show. That's usually what we do. We play it as a teaser. Now, I have to explain something here to people who may find it odd that an avowed atheist, as I am, and my producer is, that we every year we present a Christmas program with Christmas carols, and we read from the Book of Luke, and I put Molly on my lap and read to her the secular the night before Christmas. So we have the religious and the secular on this program. A lot of people say, well, you know, you claim to be an atheist. I am an atheist. I've got a huge A tattooed on between my shoulder blades. But I also can appreciate mythology. I can. If there was some holiday that was widely celebrated that had to do with Mercury or Zeus or the Anubis or Thor, you know, that those would be fun holidays too, I would imagine. So the mythology of the birth of the Christian Messiah, I find it charming. I really do. What came afterwards is not so charming, but the whole story. And it's on that basis that we build our Christmas program. So for the people who are kind of scratching their heads saying, why would somebody like Mike Malloy have a Christmas show? Simply because we appreciate the Christian mythology. And some of the music, I don't ever get tired. Some of the Christmas carols, I just find very appealing, you know, musically. John is calling from Fargo, North Dakota, listening via the Internet. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike. Oh, my God, you're finally there. I've only been waiting 42 minutes and 38 seconds. I first listened to you I know you went through the contest, but I first listened to you when I lived in Chicago and you were in WLS.
Oh, yeah, back in the day.
Back in the day, but I listened to WLS in the 70s in Minnesota, and I listened to music before it was all talk radio.
And I knew there was something wrong when I moved back to Chicago the second time, and all of a sudden I turned on WLS, and there was, like, these crazy people, like Mike Malone. I'm crazy. I mean, Hannity and those crazy people.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, what the hell? I'm not supposed to swear on TV. I mean radio. But I'm so stressed.
Well, hell is allowable.
Well, okay, hell.
Yeah, you can say hell.
It's a place where some people live, and that's where the White House moved.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What I hear. But I didn't originally call about the contest, but I had a list, your person that answers the phone. I said, I have a list of like 55 people in the last 5 minutes. So. But I narrowed it down, and he said, well, you can't use Bush and Cheney. I said, well, yes, of course, they're the given. But then I said, well, and I went through a list, and I said, Larry Craig, okay, whatever. But actually, my new nomination, and it's not about a prize, Petraeus, General Petraeus, the biggest fake in the latest hand puppet in the Bush administration. I just...
Yeah, you're right. He's another.
Harriet Myers, she's tied, and Carl Rove, Scooter Libby, they're all tied at the hip with the Bush and what's the other hip? Cheney. They're all tied to one hip. I get so frustrated. I can't understand this insanity that is going on with this country. So, but anyway, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, there are so many. If you did come up with 54 or 55, you're absolutely right. This is the most corrupt administration in the history of this republic. And I don't think there is any debate about that. Republicans won't talk about it. Because Republicans are corrupt. Keep in mind that Republicans are amoral. They have no ethical sense. And they just don't care. They're mischief makers of the most bizarre order.
I think they live on a stack of Bibles with dollar bills stacked in between the pages.
Well, that's a pretty.
I don't understand it. I in the very few Republicans, and I thought, wait, they always like to go back to Abraham Lincoln. I'm like, wait, but Abraham Lincoln, the Republican, was really a blue state back then, like Minnesota, which I'm originally from, but now living in the red state of North Dakota. It's like, yeah, then he was considered a liberal then, a Republican. Who knew what was right for the country or whatever?
Well, there have been Republicans historically who have done some good for the country, but those Republicans are dead and decayed and turned back into dust. And what we have
now? What happened to Richard Nixon?
Yeah, what we have now are these neo-fascists. Hey, John, I got to leave there. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Don't be a stranger.
I've been trying to talk to you for like 10-plus years, so I'm in Fargo right now.
Call in anytime.
I will. I want to talk again. I waited that long for you, so I'm glad I got to talk to you finally.
We'd love to hear from you. Take care, John. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.
I'm afraid of people who don't think wrestling is real.
Before the hour, thanks to the crew, Ian Huff, who engineered, Billy Foster, our technical director, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, and Catherine Bay, our executive producer, and congratulations to our three winners of the Impeach Bush Now cards, Valerie, Arnold, and Matthew. We'll be mailing those out when? Monday? Monday? Okay. Back to your phone call.
I say that confidently as if I'm going to finish baking literally what is it, 11 dozen cookies or something for Molly's preschool that have to be there Tuesday.
Right.
Yeah.
Kathy's trying to give all the kids in the preschool sugar shock.
They come with little vials of insulin, or it could be anthrax. I have to ask Colin.
You better check it out. Marge is calling from Indiana. Marge, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike. Oh, well, you can always help. I mean, she is.
How can I do that?
Well, if nothing else, you can be straw boss.
No, he can stay out of the kitchen and take Molly to the playground.
Now, see?
There you go.
There's always a way to help.
Yeah, there is.
I was just wondering, you know, how wonderful it is that we all been made aware that we're engrossed in better baseball through chemistry. Isn't that lovely?
I can't even get my mind around it. It's not surprising to me because I think there's nothing worse than high-priced sports stars, especially baseball players. It's just awful the way sports have been turned into just another capitalistic enterprise. It's awful, Marge. It's horrifying. And when this report came out, you know, yeah, it was a real shockeroo, but not really. You know, when people get 5, 10, 15, 20 million dollar contracts based on their ability to hit a little white ball out of a stadium, well, of course they're going to use whatever's necessary. If it would have worked, they would have been putting firecrackers up their butts. They don't care as long as
Cubs has signed Fukudome for $50 million for 4 years. Jeez. But meanwhile, the Federal Reserve is playing George Bailey with the Euro Central Bank, the Swiss Central Bank, and the London Central Bank.
Yeah. And
you remember George Bailey?
Of course. It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, well, you know, they're trying to keep all these folks from withdrawing all their money. Like they did from the Bailey savings and loan.
All right, now wait a minute. Our own Federal Reserve is trying to stop foreign banks from cashing in.
Well, there was an article in yesterday's Chicago Tribune about the Federal Reserve paying $40 billion to this or making some kind of a swap between all these three banks, and there was an excellent article in today's New York Times op-ed by Paul Krugman after the money's gone. And what it sort of boils down to, you know, all these people that have been granted these subprime mortgage rates are, you know, that they can't afford,
right,
and never could, you know, they borrowed, they mortgaged their homes up to the hilt. The value of their homes is now dropping so that the existing mortgage is more than the value of the house.
Sure.
Guess what?
Yeah.
You remember the same thing happened to the farmers about 20 years ago.
Yeah, it did. And I did not read Krugman's column. Is it today?
It's in Friday's New York Times.
Yeah, well,
it's called After the Money's Gone.
Yeah, I'll definitely read it when the program's over tonight because I always read Krugman, but for some reason today I didn't get to the op-ed page.
And then the crowning touch for today is Murdoch got his wish and he's got the Wall Street Journal. Isn't it?
Yeah, Rupert Murdoch owns the Wall Street Journal.
You know, can we take Kevin Martin out behind the barn and reason with him with a 2x4 up the side of his head?
Probably not.
What a grand and glorious bunch we're dealing with.
I know.
Oh, Michael.
I know.
So what kind of cookies are you going to help bake?
Tomorrow it's gingerbread cookies. Earlier this week it was some kind of cookies with M&Ms in them baked in a sheet and then cut into little squares.
It sounds like brownies.
Brownies was Wednesday. The M&M cookies were Monday, and I guess tomorrow are the gingerbread cookies.
Oh.
Oh, and also there was some fudge made. The fudge...
Oh, now you got to quit. Do you make
walnut.
That fudge with the marshmallow?
No, fudge with walnuts on them.
Well, you can put any kind of nuts on it you want, but I mean, have you ever made the fudge with marshmallow and chocolate chips and like that?
I don't think so.
It's on the recipe of a jar of fluff. Oh, God, is that good. You're making me crazy. I'm having a fudge.
A fudge attack.
Oh, boy.
Be careful now, Marge.
Yeah, you be careful, too. So, I mean, you know, dear God, Murdoch is going to have the Wall Street Journal. I think I'm going to go make a porcelain novena.
What kind of novena?
A porcelain novena. You know, that's the same kind of thing that you have after you've had too much Jack Daniels. You wrap your arms around the commode, and you know, you talk.
I see. You call it a porcelain novena. I didn't even know you were Catholic.
I'm not.
Oh. All right. Well, listen, behave yourself. I got to go, Marge. Thanks. Take care. All of y'all take care. Really, be careful this weekend. Okay, I'll see you Monday. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the NoVam Radio Network. Kevin Kinney, have a great weekend wherever you are.